You're listening to Articulate with your hosts, Kevin Kramer and Sean Gillespie, your go-to guys for art tips, techniques, and general artist ramblings. Presented by drawingandcoloring.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Articulate. I'm your host, Kevin, and this is...
Hi, I'm your co-host, Sean Gillespie.
And this is where we talk about everything art. So, why don't we get into a little bit of background of, you know, each of us?
Let's get some introductions going here.
Yeah, how about we do that? That'd be good.
Kevin here is from Louisiana. Should you tell him a little bit about painting in Louisiana, Kevin?
All right. Well, I actually did a lot more drawing than I did painting. And I've actually been drawing since I was five. I've had a lot of art published in a few different books, magazines, artist magazine.
What books, for example?
Strokes of Genius 3. Oh, How about you there now?
Genius.
A few of those.
Very impressive, sir. Yeah.
And a bunch of contests and different things like that.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So I'm also from Louisiana. My background is mainly in painting. I started off at a very early age, like Kevin here. Haven't been published as much as old Kevin, but I have been working professionally as a muralist for about 13, 14 years now.
So. Yeah. Well, to be fair, a lot of my publications have come from contests and things like that. You're more of the business side, I would say. Gotcha.
Well, and we're going to go into that in other podcasts later down the road, is how to get your work out there, how to get published, and how to get your name out. So that's actually going to be a good segue into a topic for another podcast. Exactly. So stay tuned, folks.
Yeah.
And but this podcast is actually going to be focusing on what is art.
Yeah.
Because it's our first podcast about art, so it makes sense to talk about what is art.
Yeah.
So what would you say, Kevin, is the definition of art if one were to hypothetically look it up on the Google?
If one were to do that and one were to actually have a printout of the definition in front of them.
Hypothetically speaking, if you had a printout of the definition, what would that be?
One would probably say that the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in a visual form, such as painting or sculpture, is what art is.
Huh, that's an interesting, definition of art.
It
turns out the Britannica definition is very similar. It's just
interesting.
It says that skill and imagination and the creative of aesthetic objects and environments or experiences can be shared with others is art. So basically the same definition.
Yeah,
so basically using creativity and imagination and skill to create
art.
Art is art.
Yeah.
So art is art, basically.
Art is art.
Art is art.
Art is art.
Now, Tolstoy, interestingly enough, had a slightly different definition of art, which I think is interesting.
Okay.
He said, and I quote, "If only the spectators and auditors are infected by the feelings which the author has felt, is it art?" And then he gave an example, which is about a little boy who was frightened by a wolf.
Right.
And he says that the boy then can create art by creating a painting or a song or something that instills that fear into the spectators or viewers of that. And then that's a work of art because he's sharing that same emotion to other viewers.
Okay.
Now, I sort of disagree with Tolstoy on this.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because he's basically saying, what he's saying is that only is it art if other people can view it. Now, maybe I spend a little too much time alone.
Maybe.
But I think that art can be something that you create by yourself. And if you were on an island all alone and you were never going to see anybody again and you talk to a little volleyball named Wilson.
Little Wilson ball.
You know, hypothetically speaking, if that were an island. And then, if that were a movie starring the amazing Tom Hanks.
It would be an awesome movie, I think.
Yeah, I think it would be a good movie.
It'd be a challenging movie.
Copywritten.
Yeah.
But I think that would still be a work of art. You know, cave art, nobody's going to see it. You know, you created it. Then I think that could be, you know, still considered art. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would have to agree, I think. Yeah.
All right. So art can, so you can have art without any spectators is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm
saying. What? How can you agree but disagree?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. So what are you saying?
If you are the artist, are you not the spectator as well?
So you're saying that you can be the spectator of your own art.
Yes.
Hmm.
Maybe not as objectively as someone else who has no built-in interest in it, but vested interest in it.
All right. So
it was definitely still.
Do you need to wait a while? Because I feel like, you know, after I paint something or there, I definitely am not going to be able to look at it immediately with an emotional reaction. But if I wait maybe a few years and I'll see a painting I did, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can look at that and being removed from myself as the painter. Are you saying that that's the same thing?
Well, yeah, it's going to, if you're making that art, and it's you're what you're making it with is emotion, right? You're putting your emotions onto the canvas, paper, whatever.
Okay.
And you're simultaneously viewing it.
Okay, so you're saying that art doesn't necessarily have to be it has to create an emotion, right, but not necessarily in another person. It can be an emotion within yourself. So it can be therapy, basically.
Could art be therapy, which there are books on that.
They are, and actually we should do a podcast on that too.
There you go.
Speaking of, as we go through this, all these podcasts, we definitely want you to tell us
definitely
what you want podcasts to be about. So
anything you're interested in, we would love to help out and make a podcast, let you know. We do research or whatever else.
Right.
We just have a good old conversation.
Actually, we'll learn with you guys. You know, this we want this podcast to be not only for new budding artists, but also for experienced artists as well. We want everybody to be able to learn and grow and just think about things that even you haven't thought about in a long time. So shoot us emails, and we're going to give you the email at the end of the podcast. And then, so anything you want to hear about, definitely let us know.
Yeah.
Now,
yes,
Kevin, let's talk a little bit about art in the Renaissance versus art in the 20th century.
Okay. And so, why would we do that?
Well, because, Kevin, I'm glad you asked. Art in the Renaissance was, it had to be beautiful. That was the rule.
Right.
All right. It had to...
like realistic.
Yeah. It had to exalt the artist as somebody who was technical and amazing at creating beautiful works of art.
Which no one else could do.
That nobody else could do. Okay. Yeah. And it had to be, you know, super realistic and all that. But in the 20th century, with Marcel Duchamp and the Dada movement...
Right, right.
That was sort of taken out of the equation.
Yeah. Like the phones on the wall and the...
Right.
Yeah. All of those.
Exactly.
Whatever.
The weird German little doll head paintings and all that. Which
whatever I want to put on the
wall
is art. Were
not aesthetically, traditionally beautiful, but interesting. Very interesting. And definitely created an emotion.
Exactly.
Which.
Thought-provoking emotions, probably.
Could be. But Duchamp, as an artist, he said that anything an artist creates is art. Now, I feel like this is sort of a chicken or the egg thing.
Right, yeah, I could see that.
Right, because I feel like you become an artist by making art and creating art. But Duchamp here, it sounds like what he's saying to me is that you already are the artist. The artist is within you, whether or not you've created any art or not. And then by just creating anything, it's a work of art. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's a good question. If you want to, it gets into kind of the question of what is an artist? And that's really, you know, that's kind of a subjective question.
Well, let's,
a subjective answer. But it's more of, you know, if I do this thing, am I an artist? Or do you just declare yourself an artist?
All right.
So what technically qualifies one as an artist?
Okay, well, that's a whole can of worms there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not... Because that's really... I feel like whether or not you're an artist is a title given to you by society
right.
in a lot of ways. Like, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, do you make art professionally? Are you making money from art? If not,
right.
then you're not an artist, which I don't agree with.
Right.
I
so
think that
questions.
You can be an artist, even whether you make money ever at it. I mean, Van Gogh sold one painting, definitely an artist.
Yeah.
Inarguable.
Well,
so
it's true. Because he evoked the emotions.
He does. Yeah, definitely evoked emotions. So I disagree with Duchamp on this one. I feel like he says that, you know, that anything you create is art because you're an artist. And I feel like that's true and not true. I guess I don't necessarily disagree with him, but I need a little more information from him on this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like... anything you create can be art, but I feel like it has to be amazing and it has to evoke an emotion to be art.
Well, is a Ferrari a piece of art?
That was going to be my next question, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Manufactured goods.
Yeah.
Can manufactured goods be art? Now, like you say, Ferrari or some of the, like, 57 Corvette or 58 Corvette. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of beautiful cars out there.
Emotion.
They definitely could invoke an emotion.
Definitely.
I could see one and make me cry because it's so pretty.
Tears.
Yeah. So, can a car be a work of art?
Absolutely.
You say yes.
I would definitely say
yes.
Okay,
so who is the artist? The person who drew it out at first? Or, I mean, because there's like 100 people, say, and a bunch of machines that make the car, so.
Well, if you get into that, you can go into at what point, what is the seed of the idea? Like, is what the artist creates the seed, or is it what the artist actually does mechanically as the artist to actually be the artist? Does that make any sense?
Nope.
None.
Okay. Don't know what you're saying there. So you're saying that that an idea can be art, even if it's not laid out on paper, and it's, is that what you're saying?
I guess that kind of is, to some degree.
I don't know if I
totally agree with that.
Right. You don't know if you agree with yourself.
Right.
Okay. Well, but, there you go. So I do want to have, I got a little side story before we move on, because I want to delve into this cars as art thing a little more thoroughly. But this actually has more to do with the Dada movement and anything an artist creates. So there's an artist named Bluto, who you've probably heard of. Now, he's not to be confused with Popeye's arch nemesis. This is actually an artist. They just happen to share the same name, which is unfortunate for the artist, because when you Google his name, all you get are Popeye's arch nemesis. So,
that's so good.
He had an apprentice named Flounder. Apparently, names were just thrown out there back then, guys. And he did a work called St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Which has been praised as being just two beautiful concentric orbs, and you know, it's like a lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, you know, it's considered a masterpiece, and some people think it's not. Well, it turns out that he accidentally sat on the wet canvas, and that's what created the two, you know, perfectly eccentric orbs.
So
it's his butt cheeks, people. His butt cheeks. So is that art? It's created by an artist according to Dada.
Technically.
Yeah, according to Dada, the Dada movement, and Marcel Duchamp, that would technically be art, but it's made by his butt. So where do we stand on that, I wonder? We can just leave that for food for thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it's...
I just wanted to throw that little anecdote out there before we delve into this cars as art or manufactured items as art.
As far as a car goes, where do you start? It has to start with the design.
Yeah, it has to be designed. So would you say the designer is the artist? I would.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say that.
So I would say that, yeah.
And then that's where I get into the idea and the concept, is the artist had the idea and the concept laid down, and then someone else put it together.
So he's like the director, almost.
Right.
That's a whole other thing. We're not actually going to go into movies much here. We're going to really focus on painting.
Right.
But with movies, you could even say that the screenwriter is the artist. You know. So I would say that it's whoever has the most creative control over the project becomes the artist of that project when dealing with manufactured items that require other things. And you see that a lot in screen printing. With like Andy Warhol, he had a lot of people helping him, and there was like, but he was definitely the main artist.
He was the seed of that idea,
right?
And that's
so
where
his
I was
idea.
To
okay,
tie that
I see
in.
What you're saying. So yeah, but it has to. He has to execute it. The idea has to be executed before it's art.
Right.
That's where we're going.
Yes.
All right. So I can agree with that.
Wow.
So according to Kevin, let's summarize here because we were all over the place on that one.
Let's bring that back.
Let's bring that back around. So
crystallize it.
So you're saying, just summarize what you just said for me. That
if the artist has the idea and he has the concept, he is still the artist, but other people can put
contribute.
That and contribute it to make it into a visible, visceral idea.
Okay. All right. So there's a little bit of leeway on who is and is not the artist.
Right.
But as far as what is art, the outcome, it's inarguable that even though who the artist is may be in question, whether or not it's art may be inarguable, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
All right. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And which brings us back to our manufactured goods.
Yeah.
So I agree that a car can be a work of art.
Definitely.
I don't know if I agree that a toaster can, but I think maybe if it's designed beautifully enough, maybe I would consider it a work of art.
Well, I mean, is an iPhone a work of art?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to touch that one.
You're not going to go on that
one? That's a whole other thing there. Yeah. So this brings me to the question of if a manufactured item mm-hmm. can be a work of art in this, you know, day and age where every time we turn on the TV, we see a commercial for a car
right.
or something like that. How does advertising affect whether or not we view something as a work of art? Because obviously, if we see the advertising right. and we have an emotional reaction to the ad,
right, it brings it back.
Then that can be transferred over to the work of art, the car itself. So we can have that same emotion. So where does that go?
So are you asking the question if advertising is art?
Well, no. That's a whole nother topic.
Whole nother one.
But that's another one. We got a lot of podcasts to do, people. We're going to be making podcasts from now until the end of the days.
Yes.
But no, I guess my thing is that if we're following Tolstoy's argument that art creates an emotion, or Tolstoy's definition rather, that art creates an emotion, then and our emotions can be affected by advertising or right. the publicity of a work, then is it the work itself that makes it an art, or is it the publishing? Because think of the Mona Lisa.
Okay.
Right? The Mona Lisa is probably the most famous painting in history, I would say. Next to the Sistine yeah. Chapel.
I'd say everybody pretty much knows those.
Yeah, it's a household name.
Sistine,
a little bit.
Not 16.
Yeah, I said Sistine.
No, I know.
Okay.
Just clarifying that.
All right. I was like, did I say 16? Yeah, Sistine Chapel. But the Mona Lisa, well-known work of art, right. household name. You know, we pretty exactly. much can't find a house that doesn't know of the Mona Lisa.
I have not.
Millions and millions of people go every day.
Right.
Or not every day, but, every year.
Maybe
a day.
Thousands
I don't know.
A day.
Thousands a day.
Hundreds
millions
a day.
A year.
I need to take my
yeah.
trip.
Yeah. Everybody goes.
Yeah.
So
it's on the list.
It's on the list. It's everybody's bucket list. You got to do it. And
check it off.
But is that because they
were amazing
in their heart believe that that's the best painting they've ever seen, and it's the painting that gives them the most visceral reaction,
right.
or is it because of the publicity
the
aura around it, the publicity, the legacy of Da Vinci,
right.
the how valuable it is, that for a lot of people gives it credibility
right.
and things
so,
like that. So
again, I guess that so that ties it into what is good art or what is real art, as opposed to someone unknown who has a super technical piece of art that no one gets to see.
Well, yeah, sort of. But that's kind of a separate kind of a side topic. Because what I'm really talking about here is whether an emotion for a piece of art can be manufactured outside of that piece of art itself and whether or not that affects whether that piece is or is not art.
I see.
So if I did a... if I just put a chair, which I've actually seen in the museum. On a pedestal. And I said, well, this is art.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm nobody, a nobody artist or whatever, somebody might see that and be like, that's not art. What is
right.
this? That's just a chair on a pedestal.
Right.
I'm not giving
anybody
that credit.
Could do that.
Right. But if that's put into an amazing museum that's got a lot of credibility and everybody's talking about, oh, you know, this amazing
right.
work of art that he's done, then you might go there and give it a look and be like,
right.
am I going to look at this chair in a way that, you know.
Right. It just, it changes your
perspective
and position on it
right.
before you even go to it.
Right. So, but has the work itself hasn't changed.
Right.
It's the same. So if Tolstoy's right and the feelings it invokes affect whether or not it is a work of art, mm. then the advertising and publicity would affect whether or not what you create is a work.
That
yeah.
emotion before you even get to it.
Right.
Wow.
So that's a factor to consider in your art. Now, we're definitely going to have another podcast later about how to publicize your
right.
work.
Right. Yeah, that's a big topic.
Yeah. And but yeah, just definitely keep that in mind, that whether or not a piece of art may be from an outside source
yeah.
From the art itself, which is interesting.
That is a very interesting topic.
And that brings me to another idea I had, which is a little crazy, this idea.
Okay.
But I started thinking about, what if artists had campaigns ads
yeah.
similar to the way politicians do now, and you had artists slamming other artists and rubbing their face in the mud to try to make their own work seem more valuable and seem more like art.
Yeah.
So I started thinking about like an ad where Gauguin, you know, brought to you by Gauguin,
yeah,
was slamming Van Gogh, and he's like,
"He can't paint as well."
Yeah, he can't paint as well. He cut off his ear. He's crazy.
His strokes are improper.
I'm Gauguin, and I approve this message. You know, something like that. So you can definitely, you know, your perception of the artist.
That's automatically changing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Your perception of the artist can affect your view of art.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to consider as far as
a whole political campaign on how to view it and what even elevates it to those different statuses of art.
Right. And then it's like Thomas Hart Benton. You know, he's an amazing artist, I think. A lot of people disagree. He's arguably an amazing artist. But he's sort of known for being a little bit of a bigot and a racist. Right? He's not necessarily a good guy. Right? I didn't know him personally, but I've read some books and interviews with him, and he was, you know, he got into a little bit of trouble there for that. But his art is beautiful. So,
arguably,
do we separate those two, or does the person, you know, if the person is not, I can't help but kind of think about that every time I see his art.
Right. Does that does that change the way that you view the art, though?
Yeah, I think it does.
Does it make you not want to go see it?
It doesn't make me not want to see it, but it makes me hesitant to like it.
Right.
Which is interesting. And I tried not to do that. I try to purposefully push that away. Yeah, and objectify it and look at the work in and of itself as a self, you know, self-sustaining piece.
But then that ties back into that emotion, because whatever he's painting, obviously he's got those crazy thoughts in his head. They're going to be bringing up different emotions while he's painting. So all of that racism and stuff is still going to be in that painting to some degree.
Yeah, and he does have some paintings that definitely could be considered. But he also has some paintings that are, you know, of African Americans, you know, that are absolutely not racist. And they're beautiful, and they're made to be beautiful. And you can tell that he did that, which is very confusing because he's known for saying racist things. And so it's like, messes with your mind then, because you know about him. So it's actually, in a lot of ways, better to be ignorant of the artist in a lot of cases, because then you can view the work more objectively.
I think I tend to do that with music a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because the more it helps, I think, the more you can go in, once you actually realize that you actually really like the music, because you can get more an objective opinion, and then you drill down into the history of the artist.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's kind of how I find my influences.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, you definitely, through music especially, are influenced by the media and by, you know, whether or not you like a song may be whether or depend on. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of how it's marketed and outside sources. Yeah.
So what is art?
So what is art? What did we learn that art today? What did we learn about art today?
Art is influenced by perception.
Right.
Well, and who's looking at it?
It's created. It has to be created by skill and creativity, is what we said. Imagination.
Imagination, skill, and creativity.
Okay.
That is,
It needs to be in a visual form, we could argue that music can be.
Yeah, visual writing.
Yeah, it needs to be in a form that can be, that can be taken in.
Right, something that absorbed. Can be consumed. Anything that can be consumed, then. I guess you could get into that.
Yeah, you could. You know, art has to be able to be consumed, either visually or
because food is auditorily. Art, you know?
Yeah.
You can manipulate it.
But you can see food and you can feel food. It has to be experienced, I guess.
That would be the
Because I would say even a blind person can enjoy art, particularly sculpture. And there's also some blind painters who are very successful, and just by touch. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something visual. It can definitely be something felt or experienced. So it has to be something experienced.
Experienced and visceral.
Right. And create a visceral reaction.
Creative, yes. And maybe stir some emotion.
Okay. Yeah.
So those are the keys of what art is.
Yeah. So.
And then what is an artist? It's kind of a shady area.
Yeah, that's a shady area. We'll let you decide. You have to decide for yourself whether or not you're an artist. Yes. Nobody's going to decide that for you.
Do you declare that you're an artist, or do you let others say that you're the artist?
Yeah. Make that decision on your own. We're going to leave that
one. Let us know in the comments and stuff below. We want to hear what you think about that. That would be
Shoot us an email.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us whether or not you're an artist. So, coming up in our next podcast, next week, what are we going to talk about, Kevin?
We are going to kind of how to get your area started and how to get started in the art process.
Getting started, becoming an artist.
becoming an artist.
If you don't already consider yourself an artist.
Yeah.
But if you do, then we're just going to help you get started making art.
Right. And even if you have a space that you're already dedicated to art, we'll kind of show you some of the tips and tricks that we have for kind of keeping our art and area together.
So we're going to go over the tools and the studios and layout. We're going to talk a little bit about filters and things that you can do to have a safe and clean environment to work in. Yeah. And we're going to go over a lot of that stuff. It's going to be a great podcast.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. I hope you tune back in with us.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's, is that a wrap?
Yeah, I think that's a wrap. Thanks for visiting Articulate, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Bye.
You've been listening to Articulate with Kevin and Sean. Subscribe on iTunes or check them out on drawingandcoloring.com. Always reminding you to keep it simple.